stable in a little town with the cows and horses and chickens and sheep.
Mary laid her baby down.
Cows and horses and chickens and sheep.
And the cow said,
moo.
And the horses said,
neigh.
And the chicken said, and the sheep said,
baa.
Was the lowest place on the earth with the cows and the horses and chickens and sheep. God chose this place for his birth.
Cows and horses and chickens and sheep.
And the cow said,
moo.
And the horses said,
neigh.
And the chicken said, and the sheep said, baa.
It must have been an awful sight with the cows and the horses and chickens and sheep together on this holy night.
Cows and horses and chickens and sheep.
And the cow said,
moo.
And the horses said,
neigh.
And the chicken said, and the sheep said,
Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Out of the mouth of babes. We also, I guess I'll say it this way, the brothers from the South Pacific would like to sing for us again this morning. We certainly did enjoy them singing for us last night, so if they would like to come up, we would appreciate that. And also a special greeting to our brother Isaac Hatfield, who's traveled with Brother Andrew Glover to be with us this morning, and his grandfather is Brother Ray Erickson from Ohio, so extend a welcome to our brother. Brother Ray is a dear friend. Many of you know him, and we've known him for a long time, so I also heard a rumor that he might be coming out this way here soon, so praise the Lord.
God bless you all. We just want to greet you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We bring greetings from our fellowships back in New Zealand, also Samoa. Our Pastor Freddie S.O. and Doreen S.O. and Pastor Derek Donaldson and his precious wife, and also Latu Cooper and Sister Kisa from Samoa. And, you know, we had a splendid time last night fellowshipping with the youth. I think it's a great testimony of God's keeping power when you see youth still serving the Lord in this day and age that we live in. And, you know, Brother Andrew Glover brought us a challenge last night. You know, are you going to give excuses as to why you can't serve the Lord, or are you going to take those opportunities? And you know, because God's done so much for us. Amen. We can testify to what God's done for us. And so when you think about what God's done for you, you know, you ask yourself, what are you doing back for Him? And you know, that's the challenge that we have every morning. And it's not a burden. We say that it's not a burden. It's a privilege that we live. You know, God has done so much for us and He's in us. And all we want to do is just to show that love. It's nothing that we've done. It's all by His keeping power. And I just love this rock down here that you guys have. How it says, if you won't worship God, I will. And that's true. You know, the chairs are going to worship Him. Everything else is going to worship Him. But why would the rock worship Him? You know, the rock hasn't been redeemed. I've been redeemed. Amen. He's brought us out. He's brought everyone else out here. And that's why we want to sing of His greatness and His glory this morning. And we just want to be His billboards to the rest of this world. And the song we're going to sing today, it's just about, you know, everything that is around us. You know, it comes to nothing. We just come back from LA. And you know, some say it's the, you know, everything's happening over there. But you know, we just see how little that satisfaction lasts for. You know, people just trying to find their high, and they get there, only lasts for like 3-4 minutes, and then they come down again, and then they try and find another high, and you know, whatever way that it's gonna come. But we thank God that, you know, we're gonna stay up there because we're eagles, amen? And God is, you know, He's done, you know, we just want to stay up there and it's never going to die down. You know, we're going to go through the valleys, we're going to go through the mountaintops, but God is always faithful. Amen. So God bless you all this morning, and we hope that we can be a blessing.
Amen, amen, amen.
Oh, my life long, I had panted for a drink from some cool spring that I hope would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within. Oh, hallelujah, I found Him, whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longing. Through His blood I now am saved. Feeding on the husks around me, till my strength was almost gone. Lord, my soul for something better, something still to my soul.
Amen. God bless.
Praise the Lord. Wonderful. Thank you so much. You ready for the word? We are certainly looking forward to what the Lord has for us this morning. He's always on time. He's an on-time God. He knows what we need, when we need it, how we need it, how much we need. Everything that we go through, it doesn't feel good, but it works for our good. And we believe that God has something special for us this morning. So we want to invite our brother Andrew Glover, who's coming to us from Virginia. We'd like to invite him to come out here. And so if you wouldn't mind standing once again, he counts the stars. He counts the stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shores. He sees each sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything. Of all creatures great and small, He knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, He knows my name. And I'm overwhelmed by the pain, can't see the light of day. Fine, 'cause He knows my name. Do you believe that this morning? I don't know what tomorrow may bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions of life, but I know in whom I have believed. He knows my name. Every move that I make, every tear that I cry, He knows my name. And I'm overwhelmed by the see the light of day. Well, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name. Amen. Let's sing the chorus again. Oh, hallelujah. Do you believe it this morning? He knows every detail, knows everything about you. The stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees each sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. Think about it now. He knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, He knows my name. But I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day. Well, I know I'll be just. thankful for that this morning. Amen. It's often been said that the president may not know our name and the government may not know our name, but he knows our name. And if he knows our name, that's all that matters. Amen. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows exactly what you're going through this morning. And let's just bow our hearts together and humble our spirits in His presence this morning as we invite the Lord to come. Heavenly Father, Lord, as Your believers have gathered here today, Lord, we have not come to be seen or to be heard. But Lord, we have come to worship You and to honor the resurrection this Sunday morning. Father, to think that You woke us up this morning with a mind to serve You. And Lord, You have sent a message in this generation that has come, Lord, in power. And Lord, in demonstration of Your resurrection. And Lord, this morning we are here with a confidence in our hearts that You have not brought us together in vain. But Lord, You have brought us together for a purpose. And I believe that the songs of Zion have been sung, Lord, to invite Your presence, to invite You to come. And Lord, we know that we've been taught by a prophet that You'll come wherever You're invited. But Lord, You'll only stay where You're made welcome. And this morning, Father, I pray that You would be welcome here this morning. I pray that our worship, our adoration would be, Lord, pleasing unto You. And Father, I pray if there would be any sick here this morning, oh God, Lord, may You send healing through the building. If there would be one discouraged this morning, Almighty God, may You send the spirit of encouragement through the building today, oh God. Lord, I pray if there would be one here with a question or a need or a situation in their life. And Lord, maybe they don't know how the answer is going to come. And Lord, they're praying. I pray that You would help me, dear God, Lord, to be sensitive to Your spirit, that I could follow You this morning and I could lay myself aside. I could lay my thoughts aside. And Lord, You could come and lead me through this meeting this morning. Father, may You not just anoint me to minister, but may You anoint the people to pull and to receive also. And when this meeting is dismissed, oh God, may we be able to say it was another Emmaus experience, Father, that You came, Lord, and You talked to us along the way. And we'll be sure to give You all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory for what's in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. And all the believers said, amen. Amen. Can you give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning? Amen. Amen. He is good to us, isn't He? Amen. God bless you this morning. If you have your Bibles, we'll invite you to the Scriptures, to the book of 1 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter and the 13th verse. And while you're turning there, we want to greet you this morning in the name of the Lord. Sure, nice to see everyone out in the house of God. And pray something was said last night in the youth service to be a blessing to you and a help and an encouragement to the young people. And we sure appreciate the invitation to come and Brother Doug and his friendship. God bless you. And every time I get to thinking about Brother Doug's friendship and Sister Jennifer, I think about a few years ago I was getting married and we'd sent to Brother Doug an invitation there. And I was standing there and I looked out. I saw Brother Doug and Sister Jennifer sitting there. And I tell you, you don't forget things like that. And we sure appreciate their friendship and the stand on the message here and what this assembly is doing in this community. And we thank God. And I tell you, if there ought to be a service, y'all ought to be shouting. Ought to be this morning, because next week you're going to be in a new building. Amen. So, amen. We thank the Lord for that. Brother Doug was showing us the building. And just so happy to see what God has done for you here. God has blessed you. And I pray that God gives you many more blessings and more souls and fills that building up. Amen. We thank God for what He's doing here. And good to see our friend Brother Manuel and Sister Shannon. God bless you all. And Brother Bryant and his family. God bless you. And good to have Brother Isaac Hatfield with me traveling this week. We're glad to have him here and just appreciate his friendship and all the brothers from New Zealand. God bless you. Amen. We just want to look here in the book of 1 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter and the 13th verse. Paul here writing says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in the truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Now, there's different brands of Bibles. There's Holman's, Schofield's, Thompson Chain's, different kinds. But I have before me a Thompson Chain this morning, and if you have one, you'll see this as well, that this section of Scripture, Paul, or rather Thompson Chain, actually identifies this and says, the message received as divine. So Paul here is telling us that you're going to receive a message, but you can't receive that message as just any kind of message. Yeah. But that message has got to be received as a divine message. And we find
that something divine doesn't come from a man, it comes from God Almighty. So when you've heard the word, you received it not as the word of man, but as it is in the truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also. So you can't just hear it, you can't just receive it, but you've also got to believe it, which worketh also in you that believe. In the book of Revelation, the third chapter, and the 20th verse, I want to look there, a very familiar scripture, and we'll give you our subject and let you be seated. But we know this morning that we can have a road map, and we can be lost, and we can have a map and still be lost, unless somebody can come and put their finger and say, here's where you're at, and here's where you got to get to. And I believe with all of my heart we had the Bible, but we didn't know where we was at until a prophet came and said, now here's where you're at. You're in the Laodicean church age. And in the 20th verse of the third chapter, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Now to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Now he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit hath to say unto the churches. You believe that this morning? We just ask the Lord to add the blessing to the reading of his word. As you may have your seats today for a few moments, I would like to, if I could, to take here for a thought and to speak to you this morning, if I would title this, hearing and receiving what the Spirit has to say. Hearing and receiving what the Spirit has to say. I believe this morning that we've all truly come not to hear from a man or to see a man or to hear from a preacher, but I believe we've come to hear what the Spirit of God has to say to the church. And Brother Bram tells us in the message, the voice of God in the last days, he said, God has promised to meet the need of the hour. He always does that. And we, in the need of the voice of God today, to meet the need of the hour, to meet the time that we're living in. And after he has promised it, then we can rest assured that he will keep his promise. That's the confidence that the believer has in his maker, that he has promised to meet the need of the hour. So Brother Bram tells us that the need of the hour is the voice of God. The need of the hour is not just the voice of God, but the need of the hour is to hear the voice of God. And when you've heard the voice of God, to receive what the voice of God has had to say. And we find then that the Spirit of God actually speaks. Do you believe this morning that the Spirit of God, amen, in this age that is cold, that is formal, that is lukewarm, that is powerless, it is a time that the prophet of God said that so many things has deadened the voice of God. Amen. But God has promised in this day that there would be a spirit here. It would not be the spirit of a man, but it would be the Spirit of God, and that Spirit would speak. And I believe, amen, that that Spirit has spoke some things concerning this age. We find in the book of 1 Timothy 4 verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times there shall come a depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 1 says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Now let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now the Spirit spoke and said there's going to come a falling away in the latter days. That was these days that the Spirit said there's going to come a time that people are going to depart from the faith, and they're going to give themselves to seducing spirits. Do you realize, amen, they could not give themselves to that Spirit until first they lend their ear to that Spirit to receive what that Spirit has to say. The Spirit said there would be a falling away, but the same Spirit said there would be a gathering together unto Christ. Now this morning, it's not a mystery that there is a falling away. It is not a mystery that there is people departing. Amen. But what a glorious blessing it is this morning that while there are some leaving, there are some coming. Amen. While there are some falling away, amen, there is a bride coming together this morning. And the Spirit said that the man of sin would be revealed, but the Spirit also said that the Son of Man would be revealed. Amen. The same Spirit that said the devil was going to take some away was the same Spirit that said Christ was going to gather a bride. To think this morning that the Spirit of God said, even thus shall it be, in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Brother Bim said, oh, isn't it wonderful? Aren't you happy to be living to see, amen, the Son of Man revealing himself to his church? In the day when the Son of Man is revealed, what does he do? He reveals himself in mercy. Then the next time he reveals himself in judgment to condemn those who spurn mercy. He said, what is he reveal himself? In mercy, saving your soul, giving you of his life, giving you joy instead of sadness, faith in the stead of fear, healing in the stead of sickness, revealing himself to you in his mercy the very same way he did back there. And if he's doing that now, then how far is the rapture away? How many understands what I'm talking about? The handwriting or the revealing of the Lord Jesus. So the Son of Man revealing is not a doctrine. It is not something that come, amen, to lift us up to a place to say, well, we're following a Son of Man ministry. But the revealing of the Son of Man, amen, is come to take away fear and to give the church faith. The revealing of the Son of Man has come to take away sickness and to give the church healing. To think the Bible says in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he had declared unto his servants the prophets. Now, he said there are so many voices in the earth today, that is absolutely a hard thing because it deadens the voice of the supernatural. There is so many intellectual voices. There is great voices of mighty men who are intellectual, that in their intellectual conditions, they can even shake nations. They're just not overnight people. He said they shake nations, bringing great organizations together, great campaigns, flowery. He said, and a person would be a bit confused. It's enough to confuse them. He said, but the voice of God, and they will say, how will we know it's the voice of God? Amen. Then it was in a vindicated prophet, but now today, amen, we know it's the voice of God because it's the manifestation of the prophet's word. See, this is God's prophet, and any true voice of God only brings back that real, living, supernatural God with this supernatural word, supernatural manifestation, amen, of the true word. Then we know it's the voice of God. There's so much in the other realms. He said, but remember, it will glisten. It will come forth. Now, to think this morning that there are voices of Hollywood, there are voices of politics, there are voices of fashion, there are voices of religion. This world today is full of voices, and you cannot live in this age without being influenced by a voice. But to think that the bride, amen, has been influenced by a voice, but it's not been the voice of politics. It's not been the voice of religion. It's not been the voice of some psychologist. Amen. But the bride of Jesus Christ has been influenced, amen, by the voice of God. Let me say this as plain as I can. Amen. The voice of William Branham is not the literal voice of God. Amen. But there was a voice behind that voice, and the voice behind that voice was screaming, amen, little bride, come out of her, my people, and gather yourself together under the headship of this message. My, to think today, amen, that we've just come through the season of Thanksgiving. Amen. But I think the bride, amen, don't have a holiday Thanksgiving. I think every day, amen, she is living in a season of Thanksgiving. Amen. To thank God this morning, amen, that there was a need, and the need was to hear the voice of God. Amen. But I say this morning, God has met the need, and we have heard the voice of God, and God has done something in this generation. Think today, friends, we're not talking about something that happened 50 years ago. We're not talking about something that happened 100 years ago. This morning, the voice of God is still ringing in this generation. Amen. I think the bride ought to be thankful this morning that when God has done something, amen, it generates a thanksgiving. Amen. We should make known what God has done. Do you agree with me this morning? When God has done something, amen, we ought to make it known. Listen, if Michael Jordan did something, they made it known. Amen. If Donald Trump does something, they make it known. Amen. If the Democrats do something, they make it known. I think this morning, as a bride of Jesus Christ, amen, we ought to be letting this world know, amen, that the Son of Man has been revealed in power. Amen. The message has come in divine power. David said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord and call upon his name and make known his deeds among his people. See, what David is saying is when the Lord does something, let it be known. Amen. When God does something, let it be known. Joel said, the word of the Lord came unto Joel, the son of Pethuel, and said, hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Now look here in Joel 1 verse 3. He says, tell ye your children of it. And let your children tell their children and their children another generation. Then we find the word tell actually means to rehearse or to declare something accurately. Brother Bam said tomorrow is Thanksgiving Day. It's a day that's set aside where our pilgrim fathers set the day aside to give thanks to God for what he has done. He said, I don't know how to give thanks to God for so many blessings. He said, but if you don't have a church service tomorrow, then at home get the family together and sit down and take God's word and read it. He said, and tell your children about it. See, tell them that this nation was built upon such as that, that our forefathers who fought to bring this freedom to us and left the other country so that we could have freedom of worship and freedom of speech and freedom of press, and we're thankful yet for it. So Brother Bam's telling us here then that a natural heritage is actually passed down by telling others what happened in a previous generation. In Proverbs 22 verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Brother said, there's not a kid in the land today but what can tell you that David Crockett done something. He said, there's not a kid in the land today but that can tell you that William Tell shot an apple off of a man's head. He said, see, how did they get that? He said, their parents told them those stories. Amen. And there was so much charisma in those stories that it actually influenced them, and they begin to tell their generation and in another generation. But a prophet come along and said, Bartimaeus' mother set him on her knee and said, she began to tell him about what God done at the Red Sea and about how God brought the walls of Jericho down. Brother Manuel, he said, he began to tell her, amen, she began to tell him all the things that God had done, and it built a faith in Bartimaeus' heart. He said, and I tell you what Bartimaeus done, he accepted the word of the Lord, and it produced a faith in his heart that when he saw Jesus, he wasn't confused on who it was. Amen. But he knew who it was. And here is a generation this morning. We are not confused on the Godhead. We are not confused on water baptism. We are not confused on the Holy Ghost, because there was a seed on the inside of our heart from before the foundation of the world. We stand here this morning, not as the sons of a man, but as the sons and daughters of Almighty God. Brother, I'll tell you what has happened. Creeds and traditions, amen, has brought all kinds of nonsense in the church. But the prophet said the Holy Ghost, amen, coming back in the church, is going to push those creeds out. My, to think Joel said, no wonder Joel would say, tell your children. See, don't just tell them how that we got in that condition, but tell them how we got out of the condition. Don't just come together and tell them how, amen, that the world is falling apart, and how that there's going to be a mark of the beast, and how there's going to be a tribulation period, how there's going to be a battle of God. Oh, don't just come together and talk about the negative. Amen. But let's come together and talk about the positive. Don't just talk about how that four death messengers eat the tree down. Amen. But we've come here this morning to rejoice at the prophecy, I will restore, saith the Lord. Oh, to think there were four death messengers. The prophet said there were four death messengers that eat that tree down. He said, but there's going to be four life messengers that's going to restore what was taken out. See, he said, look, do you get it? I will restore. Martin Luther was justification. John Wesley was sanctification. What was the third Pentecost with the restoration of the gifts? The Holy Ghost. He said, but what was the fourth? He said, the fourth was the word. Then this morning, church, we are not gathered here, amen, as an emotional generation. We are not gathered here as a sensational generation, but we are gathered here this morning as the word generation. To think the prophet said, amen, that Wesley had a little strength, rather Luther had a little strength, then Wesley come along a little bit stronger. He said, then Pentecost come. He said, but in the last days, according to Malachi 4, Elijah is to come with the very word. And he said, the word of the Lord will turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers. See, this morning, he said, see, there were four death messengers that took it down. I caught something the other day. He said, there were four death messengers that took it down. He said, then there were four stages of restoration. He said, there was justification made way for sanctification, and sanctification made way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But what did the Holy Ghost do? It made way for the person of Jesus Christ himself, amen, to come back into the church. Oh, he said, see, that's the same thing that happened out there when Ezekiel looked at those bones. He said, there was a valley full of dry bones. He said, there was bones, there was muscle, there was sinew, but there was no life. He said, but then all of a sudden, when Ezekiel began to prophesy, he said, son of man, can these bones live again? And wind come across that valley. He said, that's the same wind that blew in the upper room. And I say this morning, let that wind blow through this building this morning until every vessel, amen, receives a quickening power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, brother, sister, it's time to look away to Jesus. It's time to quit worrying about what's going on. Politics ain't going to change. America ain't going to change. Men's going to do what they want to do. And so am I. I'm going to preach this message with everything within me until the power of God raises a bride up off the earth. Oh, we are not here this morning as any kind of generation. We are here as the Word generation. To think the Bible said it like this, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. See, God doesn't commission someone to tell unless they got something to tell. God doesn't commission someone, amen, to go unless they got something to tell when they get there. The prophet said the problem is we go to tell, but when we get there, we ain't got nothing to say. He said, or we ain't got nothing of any benefit. Amen. He said that would help the people. Let me just say the house of God, amen, is not for man's complexes. Amen. That pulpit is not for man's idea. It's not for opinions. The pulpit is for the word of God. Amen. To preach this message in the power in demonstration that it came in. Listen, friends, we've not come here, amen, to hear some story. We've not come here to have our ears tickled this morning, but we have come here, amen, to hear the word of the Lord arise and shine. This is your day. To think that you are not here as just church members this morning. You are not here as just musicians and singers and preachers, but the prophet of God said you are the disciples of Jesus Christ in this generation who has been identified by the scripture. Amen. Are you true to him? Are you true to his word? He said, if you're true to him and if you're true to his word, he said, then you'll be a true disciple. And he said, you'll stand in the face of all criticism and declare the word of God. See, then no wonder God says that he works by laws. In the book of Hebrews, the 8th chapter and the 10th verse, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel, that after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and will write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. See, the prophet said God has set a laws to serve him. See, all of his laws are in motion, and they must work according to his own word. His laws has to work according to his word. See, then the sun is there this morning because of a law. Amen. The moon is there this morning because of a law. Amen. All of nature is working this morning because it's commanded by a law. And all the laws of God work in harmony with God's spoken word. And the law of life that's in us, amen, will bring us to a resurrection. It's got to. It's impossible for it not. Let me say this morning. If there is not a resurrection, then we have received a false message. If there is not a rapture, then we are the most deceived people on the face of the earth. But can I go ahead and preach this morning? Amen. The reason why I know there is going to be a rapture is because I'm already in the process of the rapture. The reason I know there's going to be a resurrection is because I've already had a resurrection. What a resurrection that was. Amen. But what a resurrection this is. is to be quickened from the dead, to rise. Oh, to think this morning that inside of you is a law. You didn't put that law there. God put that law there. You don't operate that law. God operates that law. You don't make these things happen. God makes these things happen. See, the prophet said, listen, there are many laws. How many believes in the laws of God? There are many laws that God works by, but one of those laws is the law of contrast. Now, Brother Bram, speaking of Noah breaking in here in the message of the ark, don't be scared. God's driving the winds. God's driving the ark. He has all things provided. Why Noah wouldn't have had any victories, wouldn't have been storms and trials. He said, we're not just put through a little safe tunnel to run through. There's no joy. The storms of life is what makes us have joy. He said, we had never know a daylight unless we had had some dark. We had never know what a hilltop was unless we had had a mountain. We would never know what good health was unless we had been sick. You would never know how to enjoy salvation unless you was lost. See, God made all things the law of contrast because He loves you. Then to think this morning that in the end time which we're living in, there are many contrasts. I don't have time to go through all the contrasts, but there are many contrasts in this last day. But one thing about it is, amen, there is a promise that there's going to be a prophetic class of people in the end time. Now, I didn't make that promise. Brother Doug didn't make that promise. Jesus Christ made that promise in the book of Matthew, the 11th chapter. He said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Are you catching something? The man of sin will be revealed. The son of man will be revealed. Amen. And so will the hidden things of God be revealed by the Spirit of God. But they're not being revealed just to be revealed. They're being revealed because those revelation nuggets is literally going to put rapturing faith upon the heart of this bride that she'll be changed in the moment, in the twinkle of an eye. Hey, let me say this, friends. We're going home. Amen. We're not staying here. We're going home. We're not playing church. We're going somewhere. This is more than Sunday morning. This is more than Wednesday night. This is more than a youth service. This is a reality that one of these mornings, our body are going to be changed. We're going to leave here and there ain't no devil going to stop it. There ain't no spirit going to bind it. We're going home. Oh, glory to God. It's a reality this morning. You are the people that was prophesied to be on the scene in this day. Then I tell you what, I'm not apologizing for it. Is that okay? The homosexuals ain't apologizing. The gays ain't apologizing. Politics ain't apologizing. That I ain't apologizing for this message. I ain't apologizing for what I believe. I believe it more today than I did when I was a 9-year-old boy and give my heart to God. You've been chosen. You've been identified. You're a prophetic class of people. Now watch. He said the book of Revelation has more symbols in it than all the rest of the books of the Bible. Now I begin to study on symbols because you'll find that Brother Man preaches the Revelation book of symbols. But actually the entire Bible is full of symbols. Then a prophet comes along and says, therefore, it has to be understood by a prophetic class. This book is not meant for everybody. See, what other man said that at the end of Revelation 3, the church goes up and doesn't come back to Revelation 19? What other man said that except a prophet? And who else catch that? Sorry, I'm showing my English problems here. Who else caught that except a prophetic class of people? Are you following me? See, then what that makes you is an oddball. Amen. Because a prophet says he reveals to us, his children, the hidden things. He said the carnal mind cannot comprehend. He said, but to the ones, oh, can I preach? But to the ones who are the lovers of the Word of God, that's who the book was written to, the church. See, the reason they don't get it is because the book is no more than a book on the shelf. Amen. It's no more than another idea about a Godhead somewhere. Amen. But to the lovers of the Word. To the lovers of the word, this Bible is full of promises. It is full of revelation. It is full of spiritual food in due season. See, the Bible is full of symbols. Brother said there's many symbols in the Bible. Now, in the setting forth of a prophecy, we have to notice that God uses many parables, such as many times things he would say, like when Jesus at the inauguration said, all the high places was made low. All the mountains would skip like little rams and the leaves clap their hands. See, there's many symbols in the Bible. Now we all agree there's symbols. Do we agree that? But where the confusion comes is when it comes time to interpret what is in symbolic form. See, Brother Bim said, remember, all the revelation is a vision and symbolic. All of it has a meaning. So you have to watch closely, read the prophets, and see what the symbols meant. Then compare it over here so that you'll know what the symbols really mean. See, as long as it stays in symbolic form, then there's no power in the church. As long as it stays in symbolic form, then everybody is a voice. Is that okay? Okay, now let's just preach here for a minute. Because if there was no lights in this building, and I walked in here and I come down the aisle, and on the way down the aisle, I tripped over something. When I tripped over it, I walked on by it, and I said, you know what? I think that's a piece of wood. Okay, I went back out, and I tripped over it again. I said, Brother Doug, what do you think that is? He said, well, I think it's a chair that's got out in the way. Okay, I walked back in, I tripped over it again. Brother Manuel, what do you think it is? Brother Manuel says, well, I'll be honest with you. I think it's your big shoe, Andrew. Okay, now here's the thing. Now we've got three opinions of one symbol without a perfect interpretation of what that symbol is. Amen. Now catch this. Then Brother Manuel says it's my shoe. Amen. Brother Doug says it's a chair. I say it's wood. But there's a man here who can turn on the light. Then when the light comes on, the light doesn't change what is laying there. The light only reveals what is laying there. Are you following me? Then do you see what this message was? All the mysteries was laying in the Bible, but we didn't know what they were. We were tripping over them. One man was saying eternal hell. One man was saying this. Another man was saying that. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. Little children, you're not a generation of symbology this morning. You are a generation of reality. The symbols have moved from symbolic into reality. Oh, devil, get out of here. I feel like preaching. I'm not confused this morning. I know what I believe. I'm not tripping. I'm walking in the promises of God. Oh, don't play with me, devil. I'm not confused this morning. Are you confused? If you're confused, it's still symbolic. But when it becomes reality, you can say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We're not confused this morning. It's more than symbols. Well, there was a symbol that had been eaten a lot. Right? We heard that, but what was it? See, the symbol has got to become reality. Then we find that there's going to be a people in the last days who is going to be a prophetic class of people that is going to see the transition from the symbol to the reality. Therefore, there's going to be a prophetic contrast. In the end time, there's going to be a famine and a feast. Amos, the 8th chapter and 11th verse says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Verse 12, and they shall wander from sea to sea. They shall go from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. See, then according to Amos, God sent this famine in the land. Now we got to catch something here, that the natural types the spiritual, that a natural famine types a spiritual famine. Is that okay? See, a famine is a symbol of judgment. But before judgment comes, a message comes. Somebody say it with me. A message comes. before judgment, a message comes. See, Brother Bam said, just before judgment, Elijah received the message. Now, we all know, we are very aware that there is a great spiritual drought in the land today, spiritually speaking. You know, it was predicted by the prophets, just before the second coming of Christ, there will be a famine in the land, and it won't be for bread alone, but of hearing the word of the Lord. Now, that day is now. See, Brother Bam said, that day is now, and hearing the true word of God. Now, sin and unbelief by false teachers and modernists in the church had brought the place to the coming, oncoming judgment. Then they turned from God's word and his prophet and turned to a modern theological terms of the word. So they said, you know what? The Bible can't be understood. So we got to change it to the New King James. And then we got to change it to the New Living Translation. See, they kept on changing it because they couldn't understand the sin. Symbols. Are you following me? They couldn't understand what was hidden behind those symbols. So they thought the more we translate it and the more we change it, the more we're going to understand it. But in reality, the weaker they have gotten, because the Bible said it would be revealed unto, oh God, it would be revealed unto babes such as would learn. And here we are this morning with people sitting in a building. Amen. And some of you are not, amen. The president's not here. Amen. Congress is not here. Amen. But here is simple men and women, amen, boys and girls that are understanding things that Daniel saw and had to seal up. Amen. Here, understand, Brother Doug, I'm trying to behave. Understanding things that John saw and he had to seal up. See, he had to seal up those seven seals. He had to seal up those seven thunders. Had to seal up all those things. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, then the symbol shall be become reality. And for the first time, we will not be here being led by modern theology. We'll be being led by the Pentecostal blessing, which is the confirmation of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, this morning, if you study in the scriptures, you'll find that there's been many famines in the Bible. I don't have time to go through all of them, but I read through them the other day studying, and some things jumped out at me. In Genesis 12:10, there was a famine in the land. Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Now catch this, the famine was grievous in the land. In Genesis 43 verse 1, the famine was sore in the land. So the famine is grievous. The famine is sore. Look at what the word sore means. The word sore means heavy or great or burdensome, very oppressive. Now catch something here in Matthew the 13th chapter and the 10th verse. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it is not given. Now in 1962, serves as this the end sign. But he said, see, in Matthew the 13th chapter, there's going to be mysteries. He said, now catch something. And he reads Matthew 13:10 and he stops and says, because it is given unto you. And if you'll watch there, he puts in parentheses, his disciples. See, it wasn't given to everybody there. It was given to a prophetic class of people that would not question it, but would believe it because they were convinced that the one it was coming from was more than a man. See, for whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he shall more abundance. Now in the 13th verse, therefore speak I to them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. In the 15th verse, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. See, you see, the Bible says, of whom there's many things to say and hard to be understood, that ye are dull of hearing. So what does a famine do? A famine produces a dullness of hearing. Now, Brother Ben picks this up in Hebrews chapter. You give a baby strong meat, you kill it. That's the reason so many people say, oh, I don't believe that, and walk away. They're still babies. Amen. They just can't understand. They can't grasp the truth. It kills them. Great, mighty things the church should know today. But you couldn't teach it. They stumble over it. They don't know what to do with it. But isn't it something here, amen, that babies and adults sit at the same table? Well, are you with me? I want you to catch this. Amen. A baby can sit at the same table as an adult. Now, the baby's eating eating Gerber and eating all kinds of, you know, goo-goo, gaga. Amen. Eating all kinds of everything's crushed up, mixed together. That baby, Brother Doug, is sitting there enjoying what he can take. But there may be another man at the end of the table eating a steak. But you know what? That man eating the steak ain't mad at that baby, because that's all that baby can eat. And that baby's not mad at that adult because he's eating a steak, because that adult has moved beyond Gerber food. Are you hearing me? Then what is this message? It's a 7-course feast that's been produced by Almighty God, and He knows what you're able to eat. See, then this morning, that's why I don't take the pulpit to fight. I take it to preach, because there's all kinds of people here. You may be on this level, you may be on that level, but I know if I'll follow the Spirit teacher Himself, then He'll come and He'll lead me to feed this one and lead me to say something. Are you hearing me? And before long, they'll all grow to the capstone ministry, and a bride will leave here some morning. Oh, this is not their food. This is bride food. See, now catch something here. What is a famine? A famine is a widespread scarcity of food. What causes a famine? A famine is caused by crop failures that are caused by natural disasters, including poor weather, insect plagues, and plant diseases. Oh, I'm trying to behave. Amen. They're caused by poor weather. There's no sunlight to ripen the food, so it's poor weather. There's no rain of the Spirit of God, so there's no water. Amen. To nourish the seed. Are you hearing me? Amen. Poor weather. It's caused by insect plagues. 4 death messengers. A caterpillar. A canker worm. A palmer worm. Are you following me? A locust. All caused a famine. Oh, plant diseases. Amen. But I want to say this morning, we are not in a famine, because the Lord said, I will restore all that the cankerworm has taken, all that the caterpillar has taken, all the caterpillar locust has taken. I will restore. See, you find then that famines are actually man-made. Famines are most commonly man-made. Man causes a famine. Then we find that man-made religion actually has made way for man-made theories. Now let's not just sit here this morning and say, well, the Baptist is full of them. And let's bring it right around home. Amen. The devil is trying his best to bring man-made theories into this message. And say, well, you know, we need to get the music under control, and we need... Is it okay to preach? We need to quiet down on the worship, and you know, all this dancing. We need to get away from all this dancing. Cause you know, I tell you, dancing, you know, had a man tell me the day, Brother Manuel, said, Brother Andrew, you're teaching dancing. He said, you know what? He said, you need to go study the way you teach it. I said, well, I'll tell you, I've been getting it from Brother Branham. And he kind of looked at me. I said, I've been getting what I teach about dancing. Brother, I said, Brother, can I tell you something? I said, what amazes me is, for a long time, I wondered how David handled when his wife was making fun of him, until a prophet come and said David knew who he was, and he knew what he was shouting about, and he knew what he was dancing about. And David was out there dancing at the very vision of the Ark of the Covenant returning. And Brother Ben said, his wife come out there and said, David, stop it. You embarrass me. And Brother Ben said, David turned and said, didn't like that. Watch this. Amen. And that's the place I think this bride has come to. When the devil says, don't have a prayer line, we say, didn't like that. Watch this. Amen. When the devil says, don't dance, we say, didn't like that. Watch this. When the devil says, don't stand up and say amen, we stand up and say, devil, didn't like that. Watch this. We're not in a famine, church. We're in a feast this morning. We are not oppressed. We are not burdensome by the conditions of the world. We have heard a message, and the message has declared, I have prepared for you spiritual food. Oh, to think this morning, church, that we are not here oppressed. Church is not depressing. Woo! I'm not depressed this morning. Amen. Church is not depressing. I was telling Isaac that day, I remember out there at that meeting, Brother Leo got up. He got up and he said, oh, y'all are frowning. You need to be smiling. And I think that's what we ought to be. Listen, if we was in a famine, you've got every right to sleep in church. If we was in a famine, you've got every right to fold your arms and not say amen. If we was in a famine, you've got every right to not sing. But because we're in a feast, we're not in a famine. Are you hearing me? Our singers are not in a famine. Amen. Our preachers are not in a famine. Our young people, God, I feel like preaching. It's not in a famine. We are not in a famine this morning. We are in a feast. Oh, brother, you better be careful. You better be careful, Brother Andrew. You're taking this too far. No, I'm going to go ahead and say it. This message has got the best preachers that walk in shoe leather. This message has got the best singers that walk in shoe leather. Come on, church. Do you realize there's a church on down the road? There's a church up the road, and they got a man's manual. They got a man's creed. They got a man's idea. They got a bobbed-haired woman playing the piano and a four-time married preacher behind the pulpit, and the church is filthy as filthy can be. But here you are this morning, and the tables is not full of vomit. Amen. The tables is not full of man's ideas. There is a feast here this morning. Oh, come over here where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. Come on over, young man. Come on over, young lady. Come on over, preacher. Come on over, deacon. There's a feast in love divine fellowship. Extra, extra, read all about it. The seals are open. The Son of Man is revealed. The Holy Ghost is here. The devil is defeated. Victory is in the camp. The shout of the king is whirling through this building this morning. I'm not in a famine. I'm in a feast. I'm fatter than I've ever been. I'm feeling better than I've ever been. Come on, Caleb. Come on, Caleb. Brother Andrew, you just need to calm down. You just need to calm down, because the problem is, how do you know there is a land? Do you realize they were trying to tell Caleb there wasn't a land? And the man had grape juice run out of his mouth. They're telling Caleb there's not a land that you can possess. And Caleb's got the grape juice running down his mouth. You know why? Because Caleb heard the word of the Lord. See, the church has become in these days, like all other man-made achievements, it's becoming scientific. But let me say, we need to kick scientific worship out. We need to kick scientific preaching out. Well, may not be popular. We need to kick scientific quoting out. Listen, this message is not scientific. Brother, we need somebody to get up and make all the quotes scientific. No, what we need is the Spirit of God that was there when those quotes was being preached to return in the church. And may I say this morning, with everything within me, I believe the same pillar of fire that was there in Houston Coliseum is in this building this morning. Brother Andrew, how can you say that? Because the prophet said, where the message of the hour is preached, the angel of the Lord accompanies the message. Oh, hear it this morning. I have heard the word of the Lord, and the word says, amen, take what I have said and allow that word to work effectually in you. Now catch this. Brother Bam said, now notice here in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Is that right? But I say, they have not heard. Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth. And their words unto the ends of all the world. Their sound went into all the earth. Do you, excuse me. Do you realize this message has gone into all the earth? Right now, I've been in India where they barely got two wires in a little hut tied together to produce electricity, and this message is in there. You know why? Because the word of the Lord will not return unto him void. See, so the word hearing means the organ of hearing, the ear, the instruction, the report of the rumor. Hebrews 3:15, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, for some when they heard did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom he was grieved 40 years, was it not with him that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear that he should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not. So we see they could not enter in because of their belief. But it says in the voice of God, he said, see, you might not get a chance tomorrow. It's now when you hear my voice. Harden not your heart as in the day of provocation. Now is the time. This is the acceptable time that if any man will hear my voice, then it tells me there's going to be a people in the last days, Brother Kenny, that's going to be led and influenced by the Spirit of God through the voice of the seventh angel. Is that okay? Hebrews 4:1. Now that was Hebrews 3. Now come to Hebrews 4:1. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But notice, the word preached did not profit them, not being what? Mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now catch something. They all heard Moses preach. Every one of them heard Moses, but some of them, oh God, but some of them actually responded to what Moses was saying because there was a faith seed inside of their heart. Look at what this word mix means. The word mix means to temper together, to mix, to commingle, to unite, to cause several parts to combine into an organic structure, which is the body to unite one thing to another. Do you see what this message is? This message is the uniting sign in the uniting time. This message is bringing a structural body from seven different continents. Help me, Jesus. This message is bringing a bride together from around the world. Do you realize she's not coming under a man? She's coming under the headship, which is Christ. And the more you hear the word preached, the stronger you become and the closer you become. And the more the bride begins to come together and the body is uniting under the headship. And the prophet of God said, when the body unites under the headship, then she will have the answer to the devil's question. Amen. It's not me, but it is Christ. See, there were 2 million Israelites. Brother, they all heard. Somebody shout heard. They all heard Moses preach. But only two went in because they heard, but they didn't hear. They heard, but they didn't receive. But why? Because faith wasn't in them that heard the word. They come to church and fold their arms and said, I've been in this thing 50 years. It's going to take a lot more than that to move me. They come to church and said, you know what? Brother Doug, go ahead and read that quote, but I can finish it before you even start it. See, they're hearing. Do you realize, are you hearing me this morning? Do you realize people that walk away from this message sit in the same youth camps that you sit in? They sat in the same conventions that you sat in. They heard the same tapes that you heard. They heard some of the same preachers that you heard. But why? But why are we here this morning?
because there's a tug from another dimension. We were not hearing William Branham. We was hearing the voice of God. We was not hearing Doug Baker or Manuel Salazar or Brian Dubick. We was hearing the voice of Almighty God that was screaming, arise and shine. This is your message. This is your day. It's time to come out of confusion. It's time to come out of the famine. It's a feast for you to come into, bride. Oh, you got to become. Somebody say, become a partaker of the word, that the glory of the Lord may be revealed in you. See, the prophet said, no matter how well, I'm hurrying. No matter how, let me just read this. This is too good to pass over. The good news to us now that God has sent a deliverer, the Holy Ghost, and we're on the road to the promised land. Now people has made it creeds, denominations, but our rest remains the Holy Ghost. Oh my brother, let me stop here for a minute. No matter how much the word is preached. Now put your seatbelts on. We've expected some we've come up to some unexpected rough air. How well you like the way preached. It's been preached. Unless you yourself are a partaker of that, it won't do one bit of good. See, then don't get mad at me. But changing pastors every month ain't going to change you. Changing churches every year ain't going to change you. See, if you're not a partaker of the word here, you won't be a partaker of the word somewhere else. See, what you are here is what you'll be somewhere else. Now, I know that may get touchy, but let me preach through it anyhow. Because people, if they could, would put the preacher on a leash. And they would lead him to this subject. And then they would lead him to this subject. And they would lead him right. And they still wouldn't live right. Because they're not becoming a partaker of what's being heard. Amen. But a son or daughter of God says, preacher, I don't care if you suck the hide off of me. I don't care if you call me a dog. I don't care if you tell me everything bad about me. When you get done preaching, let me able to stand before the mirror and say, Daddy, that's me. See, there's got to come a time that you let the words you're hearing be mixed with personal faith. Now you're sitting there thinking, well, I tell you what, them people stand up, there's something wrong with them. No, there's not. Oh, Brother Andrew, I tell you, when Brother Doug gets up there and gets to shouting and throwing his arms around, there's something wrong with that man. No, there's not. Brother Andrew, I tell you what, when that woman gets to shouting and runs around the building, something wrong with her. No, there's not. There's nothing wrong. What's happening is a connection is being made between her and a promise. What's happening this morning, right in this building, right here while I'm preaching, there is a connection being made. It's not being made just in an unseen realm, but there's an unseen realm coming in this realm, and the famine is not stopping us from preaching. Amen. There's a famine out there, but there's a feast in here. There's a famine over there, but there's a feast in here. Oh, there's more preaching being done than has ever been done in all the world. And the prophet said there's less practice of what's being preached being done than ever before. You realize we got more conventions than we've ever had, and thank God for them. We got more meetings and special services, and people still sit. Well, someday. See, there's got to come a time you rise up and become a partaker of it. See, now the prophet of God said, see, Moses' ministry, they didn't receive it. He said, now look, in my humble ministry, there should be 40 million Americans saved tonight. In Brother Bam's ministry, he said there should be 40 million Americans saved tonight. He said, but you know what? They say it's mental telepathy. Said, then what's the use of preaching it? They say it's Beelzebub. They say it's mental telepathy. Brother Doug, they say it's a cult. They call it all kinds of things. Then what's the use in preaching it? Because God has to have a witness to condemn them at that day. The word was preached. Listen, the word was preached and proved among them, and they still ignorantly walked away. There is nothing left but judgment. God could not justly judge a nation unless it had mercy before it had judgment. He is God. He couldn't do it. Do you realize this morning? Are you with me? Yes. Am I holding you too long? Do you realize this morning that on that day, there's going to be people walk up and say, Jesus, there's no way possible that anybody could live this word. There's no way possible that anybody could overcome in that age. Jesus, do you realize how hard it is on me, a young man, to overcome in this perverted? Jesus, do you realize me as a young lady? But he's going to look and say, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my Father's throne as I am set down in my Father's throne. Listen, friends, you are don't realize it, but you are actually going to condemn this Lewisian world. You're going to condemn this lukewarm generation. Oh, are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Because when they stand before God and say we couldn't do it, he's going to point and say you couldn't, but they could. You couldn't overcome, but they could. You know why? Because they would not submit themselves to the Holy Ghost that could give them the same victory. Then we find in hurrying without understanding, you're going to sit confused. Now, I said, see, God doesn't take his spirit. He just takes his men. Now the Bible says, oh, help me, Lord. Hear now this, O foolish people, without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Jesus said, are you also without understanding? In Romans 1, Paul says twice that God gave them up. God gave them up. Then the third time, he says God gave them over. So they weren't given one chance and denied. But chance after chance after chance, and God give them up. God give them up. And finally, God give them over. Amen. That in the knowledge, they give over to reprobate mind to do the things which are not convenient. See, without understanding, let me say, it's the same devil that was back there that's here today on those ecclesiastical clergymen. He said the devil without understanding from the scriptures, that's what makes them think that. Now catch something. While there's a famine going on, there's a feast going on as well. Now you all are very familiar, I'm sure. But I was there's a singer that I listen to. His name is Tommy Bates. Some of you may have heard of him. He's a Pentecostal singer out of Kentucky. He sings good songs, just old time church music like I like. And I listened to him. So I was listening to him one day, Brother Doug, and on YouTube it was playing different songs. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. And then all of a sudden it turns and it goes into one of his sermons. Well, I just turned on and I'm looking at it. And while I'm looking at it, I see there's a bunch of young kids and they got cuts in their pants. They got t-shirts. Young girls got shirts down low and paint and one had purple. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, and they're in there screaming and they got rock guitars and Tommy Bates is up there and he's singing, oh, can't nobody do me like Jesus. And he stops and he says, I'm trying to introduce the old time way to the new generation. He said, I'm trying. Now get this. Here's a man trying to introduce the old time holiness way of singing to a new generation and they're not receiving it. Yeah, they're jumping up and down. Yeah, they're running back and forth, but you can tell there's no liberty in the singing. So a man by the name of Perry Stone, anybody heard of him? Perry Stone, he's a charismatic preacher. That's who Tommy Bates was preaching for. Now, it's amazing to listen to this. He's preaching for this man, and at the end of the service, Perry Stone and Tommy Bates are standing side by side. And Perry says, Tommy, we're going to pray for your mom that God will go heal her. He said, we're going to pray right now that since you sacrificed to come to this meeting for us, we're going to pray that God will go heal your mom. He said, but before we do, he said, I just feel led to say something. And Tommy hands him the microphone and he gets his phone out and he says, now let me see if I can find it here. And he begins to scroll through his phone. He says, there's a picture out. He said, there's a picture out. He said, now he's, oh, there it is. And Brother Manuel, he turns his phone and when he does, it's the picture of the pillar of fire hanging over William Branham's head. In a charismatic meeting where they're trying to introduce the old time way to the new generation, they take this picture out and say, this is William Branham. Some of you have heard of him. And I read it verbatim. Branham was real. I know he had some strange doctrines. Now that's where they always go. He had some strange doctrines on some stuff. But one of the greatest prophets that ever lived in 700 years or our time, I'm not building up man. But the thing was, Perry Stone didn't have to build him up. God already did. He said, now look here, Tommy. He said, have you seen this? And Tommy says, yeah, I've seen it. And Perry Stone there says, now there's a supernatural light. He said, now that picture was taken in Texas in 1950s. He said, this picture is in the Smithsonian. Yeah. It's in Washington, D.C., in the Library of Congress. He said, this picture is there. He said, now let me say this. When my dad was dying, Perry Stone said, when my dad was dying, he said, that same light you see in this picture came in to hang over my dad. He said, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a picture of it and send it to Branham's people. He's going to send this picture or this light hanging over his dad to Branham's people. And he says, to show them. But what really got me, Brother Doug, I'm about done. But what really got me was I scrolled in, Brother Manuel, on the picture, and there was a scripture on there. And it said, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall. So see, they weren't denouncing the supernatural. They were denouncing the word. But the Bible says that the people that know their God, Isaac, come here. The people that know their God, hold that picture. The people that know their God shall do great exploits. The prophet said there's some that knows the creed. There's some that knows the church. But some knows Him. Are you hearing me? If there ever was a time to make sure you know Him, now is the time to make sure that you know Him. Help me, church. I'm about done. Listen, you say, Brother Andrew, who is that Him? That Him is Christ. Oh, help me, Jesus. That Him is Christ. Listen, the Bible says it this way. I want to read this to you in John 14:7. The Bible says, in that day ye shall know that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Now, get something. That word know means to know the facts. But it's got two definitions. One, to the Greeks, they can know the facts of it without it changing their conduct. But, trying to behave. But to the true believer, they can know the facts, but they know more than the facts. Because the facts has become a manifestation in their life, and it's changed their conduct. Hold that picture high. Let me say this. I don't just see William Branham in that picture. Listen, Perry Stone knows the facts of this picture. He knows it's in Washington. He knows it was a supernatural being. He knows it was something from God. He knows the facts. But there's bobbed-haired, painted-faced women standing on the pulpit. Amen. And the facts has not changed the conduct. But unto you. But unto you, Eagle. But unto you, Eagle, that picture is more than a picture. That picture is more than a man. But you know that there is a God that is in that picture. I can't deny that picture because what's in that picture is in me. William Branham is not in me. The pillar of fire is whipping through this building. The pillar of fire is here right now. Won't you stand up on your feet and make Him welcome? He is here. He's not dead. He's here to bring you to a feast. I'm not crazy. That's more than a picture to me. My God is in that picture. That's Christ in that picture. That's the same pillar of fire that led Moses, has returned to lead the bride. Let our musicians come this morning. He that heareth my words has passed from death unto life. But then says, in other words, you've been quickened to the reality. Ooh. I'm catching the second wind. You've been quickened to the reality. Brother, they know the facts, but they're in a famine. They've got all the facts. That man had, listen, that man probably knew more about this picture than some people around the message. He knows the facts of it. But the Bible, I'm going to read it to you. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know Him and have seen Him. Now the word know means to become acquainted with. To know. To
to the Greeks, this meant to know facts. But these facts may or may not affect one's conduct. But to the true believer, true knowledge always manifested itself in one's conduct. One did not know something until that fact had a practical outworking in their life. See, when you heard the word, you received it not as the word of men, but as the word of God. Oh God. God help me. You received it as the word of God, so that when you believed on the word could work effectually in you. Can I just be honest with you this morning? Can I? Thank you, Brother Doug. I'll just be honest with you this morning. Is that a better way to put it? Why are you here this morning? Some of the people that's walked away had that same picture hanging in their house at one time. But why are you here this morning? Because it was more than a picture. It was a reality. That God loves me enough, Brother Manuel, that He would send the same pillar of fire when Egypt had Israel in slavery to lead Moses. He would send that same pillar of fire to Paul when Paul was confused and persecuting Christians. He would send that same pillar of fire to Paul and say, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? That He loved me enough, Brother John, that He sent that same picture, that same pillar of fire in the Houston Coliseum in the face of criticism. But there was a disciple of Christ in there that said, I contend for the word of God and the supernatural. And then the prophet would say, that's that same pillar of fire that's in the church today. Brother, I want to tell you with everything within my heart, this bride is not confused. We know in whom we have believed. And we are persuaded. We are convinced that this, listen, this is not a religion. This is Christ. This is Christ. Do you realize then we have this picture? It's more than a picture. Revelation 10. Are you hearing me? The Spirit said some things about this day. The Spirit of God has made a visit into this generation. In this day. In this hour. While there is a falling away because of the famine, there's a gathering together unto the spiritual feast. Do you love Him this morning? I say this morning with all of my heart, we're going to make it. We're going to make it. We've already made it. The word of the Lord declares, Brother Brian, we're going to be there. A prophet saw us there. And there ain't no devil can stop us from getting there. See, shalom. Hello. Shalom, Rebecca. Your Isaac is here. Woo, glory. I wish I was out in the parking lot right now and kick up dust. Do you see, Rebecca would never known Isaac without an Eliezer? But do you catch something? Eliezer was sent by Abraham to get Isaac, to get Rebecca for Isaac to find the bride. Do you realize Genesis 24? Go read it sometime. The Bible says Eliezer prayed, Lord, let it be that if she's not willing to follow, that it won't be her. Paraphrasing there. Do you realize Eliezer knew if she won't follow me, she won't follow him. If she rebels against Eliezer's message to get Eliezer to get her to Isaac, then she's not going to follow Isaac. But she come out and she obeyed what Eliezer prayed. And catch this, Eliezer told Rebecca about a man she had never seen before. I'm getting in a whole other sermon. Eliezer told her about a man she had never seen before, she had never heard before, she had never shook his hand. But do you realize what she done? She heard the words of Eliezer and she received the words of Eliezer. And she said, now let's go. And I say it this way, Brother Branham says it this way. He said, Eliezer sweated until he found character. And then he found character, and Rebecca steps upon the camel train, and they're on their way to meet Isaac. You imagine when Eliezer gets her up on there, and she looks over to Isaac, and Isaac says, hey, what tape do you want to hear?
What do you want to hear describing? Friends, I don't know what people hear on those tapes, but can I tell you what I hear? I hear about my God. I hear about where I'm going. I hear about where I come from. I hear about how much He loves me. And the whole time she was hearing Eliezer's message, it was producing a relationship. And she hadn't even seen Isaac, but there was a relationship being created. Eliezer established a true relationship between Isaac and Rebekah. And Eliezer said, "Now I must decrease, and he, Isaac, must increase." Isn't it something? When Rebekah got there and met Eliezer, and Eliezer introduced her to Isaac and said, "There's Isaac." Isn't it something, Brother Kenny? Rebekah didn't say, "Oh, hi, Isaac," and turn around and look at Eliezer and say, "Let's go ride that trail again." Isn't it something? Eliezer done his job. He got her to Isaac. And now there's a relationship between the bride and the bridegroom. Friends, can I scream with everything within me this morning to you? With what little bit of voice I've got left. This message has produced a relationship between a people and their God. And they're doing great exploits. They're laying their hands on the sick and they're recovering. They're casting out devils and demons are fleeing. Broken homes are coming back together. Amen. Broken families are coming back together under the power of what the Spirit has said in this generation. Do you love Him this morning? Oh, can't you see why I'm happy? Can't you see why I'm shouting? The Bible says there would be a famine in the last days. But it also said there would be a feast. Help me, Lord. I got to quit. You realize people bear the reproach of what they're in? Brother JJ, they bear the reproach of what they're in. If they're in a bad situation, Brother Doug, their actions show it. Their facial expressions show it. Right? It amazes me. You go to a restaurant after church. You go in there and there's people comes in with brand new suits and hats and clothes. We went in a restaurant not long ago, Brother Doug, after church on Sunday, and there was a guy in front of us, man. He had a nice suit on, his expensive suit too. His wife was dressed real well, you know. And I knew they'd just come from a church here in Beckley. I mean, it's the biggest church here in the area. They come out of the church, and the man was standing there, and the man was looking at his wife, and he said, "Oh, be quiet, I'll get what I want." And she said, "Well, just do it then." They weren't smiling, they weren't happy. Well, the next day I was listening to the radio station, and that Christian radio station had that church on the radio. And by what I heard, I could tell why they was upset. It's a depressing thing. The preacher was preaching to him, "The world's coming to an end. You better get to finding some money, and you better get to finding some stocks, because God's children's going to be rich in the last days." And they just come out of church, but they're bearing the reproach of a famine. But here we leave today. We don't care if a bomb comes. We don't care if the stock market crashes. We've heard the Spirit say there's a land beyond the river. We've heard the Spirit say there is going to be a bride. We have heard the Spirit say that some morning between 6 and 9, there's going to come a cool breeze. Can you sing it for us, brother? How many's happy here today?
Can't you see why I'm happy?
I'm so happy.
Oh, I've accepted. Oh.
do you love him this morning? How many can say, Lord, thank you for the feast? Isn't it beautiful that when you leave here, the feast is not over? Isn't it beautiful in the morning, the feast is not over? Tuesday, when you have a bad day, the feast is not over. Why can you raise your hands like you're doing right now? You're not burdened. Why you got a smile on your face when everybody, Brother Bim says, a neurotic age? Because you've heard a message, but you've heard more than a man. You've heard Christ. Brother Doug, it amazed me one time. I was listening to a tape and I was actually praying on the road, on the way to a meeting. I was praying. I said, Lord, I said, reveal to my heart something today. Father, I want to receive something from you. And I was listening to a tape on the way to that meeting, and Brother Bam began telling about the woman that come to him needing deliverance. And he said, sister, I see. He said, you've asking God to forgive you, but you've done something against your husband. He said, now you need to go ask your husband to forgive you. He said, it's something wrong. He said, she looked at me and said, now Brother Branham, I can't do that, because if I do that, my husband will leave me. He said, well, until you go make it right. He said, the home's not going to come back in order. Family's not going to be okay. He said, you got to go make it right. And he said, but wait a minute. He said, the Spirit of the Lord shows me he's got something to show you as well. And Brother Branham revealed what he had done the night before to the lady. He said, they went and met each other. He said, she repented, he repented. He said, they got all that cleaned up. Said, they come back together and said, next time I seen them, they was happily serving God. And Brother Bram stopped and he said, now this is what this message come to do. It come to bring clean living back. Brother, I about had to pull over and get out of the car and shout. This message come to do more than build churches. It come to do more than build quotas and quote books. This message come to produce clean living in the filthiest age of seven ages. Can you bow your hearts with us this morning? Would there be one here today that would say, Lord, help me to hear what the Spirit has to say? God, silence every other voice but the Spirit of God. Maybe you've been hearing the things that the Bible says concerning the end time. Maybe you've been feeding upon the fact there's going to be a falling away, and feeding upon the fact there's going to be some departing from the faith, and feeding upon the fact that there's going to be another Sodom and Gomorrah, and feeding upon the fact there's going to be an earthquake and there's going to be bombs, and all, you've been feeding on all those end time prophecies. Friends, I want to tell you this morning, there's more on the table to feed on. There's more on the table this morning. Those things have opened our eyes to the end time. We know what Russia's going to do. We know California's going under. We know America's borrowing money on money they'll get 40 years from now. We know all those things. But if you become so focused up on that, you'll forget the fact that the Bible also said there'd be a bride's revival. That the prophet said in the last days, I will pour out my spirit. Friends, as the bride of Jesus Christ, I urge you this morning with everything within me, get your eyes off of everything else. Get your eyes off of what this man is doing and what this church is doing and what this preacher's saying and what this woman's doing. Get your eyes off all that this morning. Get your eyes back on the message of the hour. Open your ears to the Spirit of God. Let him come and speak to your heart. Receive what he has to say to you. Quit letting church services be another gathering together and hearing the same preacher, but become a partaker of the word that's being preached. Become a partaker of the message that you're hearing. If that would be your prayer this morning, would you just slip your hand up to the Lord and whisper to him, Father, help me today, dear God, to become a partaker of this word. That you can come into me, a young man. You could come into me, a young lady. You could come into me, a husband or a wife or a preacher. And your glory could be revealed in me. Friends, I want to ask you this morning to turn and lay your hand on the person standing next to you. Brother to brother, sister to sister, husband to wife in godly order. A feast at Thanksgiving is a time when families come together. This morning, we're having a Thanksgiving feast. We're a family here today. This message has brought New Zealand to America. Has taken America to Africa. uniting Africa with India. This message is bringing an organic structure, original structure together to unite under the headship of Jesus Christ. As you have your hand laid up on one another, I want you to offer a prayer today. You see, you don't know what that person's going through. You don't know the burdens they're carrying. You don't know the weight they're under. But the Spirit does. Let the Spirit speak this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, all across this building today, dear God, hands have been laid up on one another. Father, hearts have been joined together today, dear God. Lord, brother to brother, sister to sister, husband to wife, godly order today, we lay our hands upon one another. Father, we have heard the Spirit speak in this last day that there will be one Lord and one faith and one baptism. There'll be one God. There'll be one message. Lord, there's going to be one rapture, Lord. But Father, we're living in a world that's in a famine, dear God. Lord, that there's an insect that's taken away the joy, Lord. There's an insect that's taken away the peace. But this morning, dear God, by your grace, we're not in famine, oh God. By your grace, we're in a feast today, Lord. And Father, as we join our faith together, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray the Holy Ghost would breathe across this bone today, Lord. Would breathe across this body today, dear God. Father, may you bring strength, oh God. May you bring grace to my brother today, Lord. May you bring grace to my sister today, dear God. Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, I adjure you by the power of the living God. May the Holy Ghost bring liberty, Lord. Father, if there would be one here today, oh God, that has given ear to something they shouldn't be listening to. They've given ear to the voice of the enemy. They've given ear to the voice of a church or the voice of an opinion. I pray this morning, dear God, in the name of Jesus Christ, may they give their voice. May they give their ear to the voice of God in this last day, that they could come out of confusion, they could come out of question, they could come into reality this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. If there would be one young person today, God, that would be confused, I pray this morning, Lord, you would break the bonds of confusing power over their life. Let them see the reality this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, send healing. Where there's been hurt, send healing. Where there's been brokenness, bring unity. Where there's been division, bring unity. Where there's been confusion, bring peace. Oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, we make you welcome today, dear God. Father, I personally invite you to reveal yourself to my life. Reveal yourself more to me, oh God. Reveal yourself more to this assembly, Lord. Father, as they prepare to leave this building, Lord, and how it's been a blessing to them and served its purpose, dear God. Give them a place to meet, Father. But Lord, they're going to be marching into a new building next Sunday, Lord. Father, I pray the Holy Ghost would send such a rekindling of fire over that building. Lord, I pray the Spirit of God would drive out every evil spirit from away from it. Lord, I pray that when they go in the building next Sunday, oh God, there would be a shout of the king in the camp so strong. Lord, there would be renewed eagles going in that building. Lord, they're reclaiming, Lord. Father, as your word said, in the last days, you would reclaim the desolate heritage, Father. Lord, what some left for disgust, what some left for destruction, you said you would take it and restore it, Lord. And Father, you've restored this assembly, dear God. May you bless them, I pray. Father, may you bless Brother Manuel's assembly and Brother Bryant's assembly. Lord, there's churches in New Zealand, Father. Lord, may we leave here today, dear God, in a feast. In Jesus Christ's name. In Jesus Christ's name. God bless you this morning, friends. God richly bless you today. May God reveal himself to you. May you... If anyone needs prayer today, come. We'll pray for you. Thank you for allowing us to speak to you from our hearts. I pray something was said to help you. Something was said to bless you. When you leave here today, don't leave with a frown. Leave smiling. Leave smiling today. You got something to smile about. Brother JJ, we got something to be happy about. We got something to be excited about. You love him today. As your pastor comes, God bless you. Oh, accepted.
Word of the Lord. gospel.